One of the many attractions to life in our part of the world is the wildlife, creatures ranging from found-only-here salamanders to bald eagles, and lots of them. We'll focus for a bit on another bird, the marbled godwit, which spends time by the California beaches for part of its life cycle. It's such a big deal, it gets its own festival in the spring. The next Godwit Days in Arcata, next April, will be the 25th anniversary of the festival. Let's learn more about the bird and its celebrity status from someone who knows it pretty well. Rob Fowler is a professional bird guide. He's involved in many of the field trips for Godwit Days coming up next April 15th to 21st. Rob, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, I'm glad I could be here.
Talk about your interest in birds and how it turned into a pro ranking for you.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. I started probably around, I was about 10 or 11, and I was in Kmart with my mom, I remember, and I saw a bird feeder, and I thought it looked cool, and I just asked her to buy it, and so she did. And basically what happened is I just sat near my bedroom window for weeks on end thinking that birds would just show up because I was a kid. I didn't really know what was going on or how long it would take for birds to show up and stuff, you know. But then I got kind of frustrated because it was taking a long time. And then one day I went out there and there was seed on the ground. And I was like, what might that mean, you know? And then maybe like a day or so later, a house finch, a male house finch, landed on the feeder. And that kind of kicked it off for me right there. And then I took my dad's binoculars. He had a little pair of Nikon compact binoculars. And I started running around the neighborhood and started trying to see what I could see. And then he got me my own binoculars. And then I just kind of went from there and was a bird watcher for a long time. And then I moved to Monterey in about 1998 or so. And I met some people there that were also birders. And really got into the community there and really became a serious birder when I lived in Monterey for 7 years before moving up here to Humboldt in 2003. So, and then just kind of snowballed from there, basically.
So let's talk about the godwit. I mean, I gather there are several subspecies. And why is it called a godwit in the first place?
Well, marbled godwit, there's actually three species that are found in North America regularly. You got the marbled godwit, the Hudsonian godwit, and the bar-tailed godwit. And marbled godwit is definitely the most widespread and most common. And here in Humboldt Bay, in Humboldt County, it's actually one of the major wintering places for marbled godwit, where we generally get some of the highest counts of marbled godwit in the wintertime during the Christmas bird count season. And basically, if you hear a godwit calling, they'll often go like, "Godwit, Godwit, Godwit," and they basically are saying their name. So I think that's how they got their name.
All right, that makes it easy. When you hear the sound "Godwit, Godwit," you know you're hearing a godwit. So what makes it important enough to build a 6-day festival around it?
Well, I think because it's such a noticeable bird. You know, if you go walking around the Arcata Marsh or just drive around Humboldt Bay or something, you'll often see large flocks of godwits, and they're large, showy, and somewhat easy to identify bird. So whenever they founded the festival 25 years ago, I think they just kind of decided to take that bird since it was so prominent in the area and named the festival after that, and it's stuck ever since.
We were talking about Godwit Days coming back to the North Coast April 15th through 21st of next year, 2020, in Arcata, the 25th anniversary of that. Rob Fowler is our guest on The Exchange, talking to us about the focus of Godwit Days, the marbled godwit, and how prevalent it is in the Humboldt Bay area over the course of its wintering season. You can join us at 800-838-3760 with questions or comments. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So let's talk about some of the features. It's not a super small bird. It looks like it's, what, about chicken-sized or so, maybe pigeon-sized?
Yeah, so like as far as shorebirds go, you have small shorebirds, like, say, like a Lee sandpiper, which is probably about 5 to 6 inches long, and it's actually the smallest shorebird in the world. And then you get all the way up to godwit, and that's what we kind of consider a large shorebird. So you got marbled godwits, you got long-billed curlews, we also have willets, and those are all considered large shorebirds. So they're about, their bills are about 8 to 9 inches long almost.
Wow.
Females are a little bit larger and have longer bills generally in shorebirds.
Yeah, this is not a pigeon face, for example. It's a really super long bill, and that seems pretty common among shorebirds. What does it do for them?
Yeah, well, shorebirds are pretty gregarious in general, and many of them have different shaped beaks, and a lot of them tend to forage together in large flocks, and they're often different species mixed in with flocks, and they all have kind of a different bill size and shape. And so since they all can forage together, they can all forage together because they have, they're able to exploit different features in the resources that they're trying to feed in, like on the mudflats of Humboldt Bay and such. So, like, take the marbled godwit, they have a very long bill, and they could probe a lot deeper than other things besides, like, maybe, like a dowitcher or something like that that also has a very large bill.
And what kind of food are they digging for with those big bills?
Yeah, at the tip of their bill, they have a thing called the Herbst corpuscle, which is a very sensitive nerve endings at the tip of their bill. And they could immediately detect food with that Herbst corpuscle that's at the tip of their bills. And it makes it really sensitive and easy to pick out food. So things like godwits, they're just going to probe a lot deeper, and they'll get all kinds of different invertebrates and worms. Even crabs and stuff sometimes, so it gives them a lot of options for foraging.
So it looks like from the range maps that that godwits are all over the California coast, but not all of the year. Where does the marbled godwit, for example, spend the rest of its time?
Well, there's two different subspecies of marbled godwit that we have that actually winter in Humboldt County here. And the main subspecies goes and breeds mostly in the prairie pothole region in middle Canada and also like Montana, North and South Dakota and such.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have this very small population. I can't remember what the number is. It's probably, don't quote me on this, but it might be like, 3,000 or 4,000 individuals that nest up in Alaska along the Bering Strait, and those are the Beringiae subspecies. And so they go all the way up there, and it's just a very tiny population. And I think there's some people up in Alaska that have been working with them and actually banding them and tracking their movements and such.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so we have two different subspecies.
But the main part, you're saying, ends up like in places like Alberta and Montana over the course of the summer.
Saskatchewan, Alberta, mm-hmm. and Montana, North, South Dakota and such, in the prairie pothole areas and stuff there. That's where the main population goes. But we do have, in a lot of shorebird species and other bird species, we do have individuals that like maybe aren't quite ready for breeding age that might hang around, like, say, here in Humboldt Bay over the summertime. Like, there's usually a flock of, like, oh, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 marbled godwits that mm-hmm. you could see in the summertime here. But most of them, for the most part, go to their breeding areas.
Rob, any change in the numbers that you're seeing in Humboldt Bay? And I want to ask specifically about habitat, because you got the ocean rising and the land on the north coast sinking as measured by geologists. And I wonder if there are issues with the marbled godwits' habitat.
Yeah, it seems right now, as far as marbled godwits go, just talking about that species, that they seem to be doing pretty well. In recent years, we have been doing Humboldt State University with Mark Caldwell. Professor Mark Caldwell has been organizing a bay-wide shorebird survey. And so we're getting some really pretty accurate numbers of shorebirds, and we've been doing surveys fall, winter, and in spring. But I'm not sure if marbled godwits have actually declined. I don't believe they have. I think they're doing pretty well, actually.
All right, so things are going well. But now what about migration patterns? Are you noticing any changes in those? Are they staying around longer or leaving earlier or later or anything like that?
Oh, that's always kind of tough to assess. Personally, myself, I haven't really noticed any big difference in them sticking around for a longer period of time. There are resources that one could maybe look at, like take eBird, which is mm-hmm. a program by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology where people can go and enter their bird sightings in real time.
And that is a fascinating site with a lot. It's really like a citizen science site.
Yeah, it's a huge citizen science project, and there's just so much information. You get lost on there for hours looking at it. It's really great.
We're talking to Rob Fowler here on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a professional bird guide and one of the key figures in the execution of the Godwit Days, which comes back to Arcata next April. It'll be the 25th anniversary celebration where obviously the bird, the Godwit, is celebrated as well. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760. Swap stories from previous Godwit Days or ask questions of Rob, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So I was talking about the bird migration. Let's talk about people migration. How far and wide do people come from to go to Godwit Days?
Oh, that's a great question. We have people coming from the East Coast. I think last year we had a couple, maybe like 5 to 10 people that came from out of country. But we do get a lot of East Coast visitors, but we also have a huge local contingent that tends to sign up for trips every year. So they always kind of keep us on our toes with having to come up with kind of new trips to kind of keep them interested and wanting to come out to Godwit Days and stuff.
How many field trips is it? It's a huge number, I noticed.
Yeah, usually it's around 300 to 400 people that sign up for the festival.
Mm-hmm.
I know the year that we had David Sibley, which was the 21st year of Godwit Days, I believe, that really maxed out the festival. I think we probably got close to maybe almost 500 people, if I remember correctly. Sometimes I'm a little bad remembering these numbers, but that was the biggest year by far, since he's such a huge draw and such a popular birder and field guide author, of course.
But in terms of the field trips that are offered during Godwit Days, am I looking at this number correctly? Is it something like 90 plus?
Yes, it's a lot of events that we have. We used to have 100. Maybe 100 plus trips, and not all of them are trips too. We have most of them are field trips, but we also have various workshops, like photography workshops or sketching workshops. And then there's also a lot of kid events that we have too, like kids birding trips and like an owl pellet dissection workshop for kids. And then there's also not just birding trips, too, but we also have things like botany trips and trips centered around herpetology, looking for reptiles and amphibians and stuff, and even some trips for looking at fisheries and kayaking trips, too. So it's really a wide assortment. We got something for everything. That's anybody that's interested in the outdoors, basically.
Now, I can imagine you're leading a lot of these trips. Do you get a chance to enjoy seeing the birds yourself when you're trying to shepherd a flock of people around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, since I'm one of the organizers and I got to find people to help lead these trips, we got a huge, huge assortment of birders here and the naturalists in Humboldt County. So generally, everybody's pretty willing to help out. And a lot of people have been guiding their own trips for many years, like a specific trip that they like to do. And then, I tend myself to, I think last year I led a trip every day during the festival almost, Wednesday through Sunday. So, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy leading trips and love meeting new people and getting people excited about what we have here in Humboldt County as far as avian and natural diversity goes.
Yeah, I got lots of that. Now, the big silver anniversary of Godwit Days is coming up in the spring. Again, the dates are April 15th through 21st of 2020. Is that about the time the Godwits are getting ready to head north?
Then that's one of the reasons also why we have the festival during this time of year is because shorebird migration is really starting to ramp up. And let's say by middle May or so, the majority of shorebirds that are going to be passing through Humboldt Bay have already passed through and they're heading north. Most of these shorebirds that come through here are going to be migrating up to the Arctic to nest up there. But then you also have things like, of course, the Godwits, marble Godwits, and then Willets, which go breed in like the Great Basin region and stuff. But yeah, so Godwit Days is kind of centered around the time when shorebird migration is really starting to ramp up. And almost every day this year during Godwit Days, we're going to have shorebird-specific trips. When there's going to be a shorebird fly-off, which is really a spectacular event where you get to see huge numbers of shorebirds. While Humboldt Bay is going on a rising tide, a lot of these shorebirds are foraging on the mudflats. But as the tide rises, it starts pushing them up off the mudflats. So you get these huge flocks of shorebirds just kind of wheeling around and flying around. And during the peak of spring migration, which is after Godwit Days, for shorebirds, there's some days you could go out and you could see like 250,000 birds in one flock just flying around over the bay. And I would say it's probably the most spectacular numbers spectacle that we have going on here in Humboldt County, as far as if you like number spectacles of birds.
It must be really hard to predict, though. It just happens or it doesn't, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You kind of just have to go out numerous days, but there's always something interesting to see, mm-hmm. You know? Like, every day you go out, there's always something new to learn and something new to see. No day is ever going to be exactly the same. So that's one thing that's always exciting about birding for me, too.
That it's different every day?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk the same trail every day, and every day it's going to be completely different. Well, not completely different, but you're going to see something different every time.
It keeps your sense of wonder fresh from the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it also keeps you living in the moment, too. You know, it's not like, you're just kind of, you're focused on what you're doing at the time in the moment while you're out birding or out looking at nature, or maybe you're into mushrooms or into identifying trees or into botany or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, all kinds of stuff going on at Godwit Days. I can imagine that somebody who would set up a short-term binocular rental would probably make out like a bandit for all the people who forgot to pack theirs as they traveled across the country to this.
Yeah, and speaking of binoculars, we do have a couple of optics reps there, and there's one store from Mendocino County that comes up and actually helps sell their optics and stuff there. Why can't I think of their name right now?
Okay, we got time between now and April to figure it out. But so before we have to go, we have less than a minute left here. I just want to ask Rob if there's some big event unusual to Godwit Days that you'll have because this is the 25th anniversary.
That is a fabulous question. I am not sure if we are planning anything super special. I'm generally in the field trip portion, mm-hmm. of working on that. So I wish I could answer that for you.
Okay, but there's lots of time, obviously, for people to get up to speed. In fact, the Godwit Days website is already up to let people know the basic outline of events for the 25th anniversary. That's April 15th through 21st in 2020 in Arcata, the 25th anniversary of the Godwit Festival. Rob Fowler has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a professional bird guide, very much involved in organizing things. Rob, thanks for joining us on the Exchange today.
I'm glad I could talk to you. It's been fun.
All right, take care.